This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. Many women want to use contraception, but especially in the developing world, they find it modern methods undesirable or inaccessible. One answer to that problem comes from right here in Seattle. It's called the Silks diaphragm, and the device has just been approved by the US FDA. Maggie Kilbourne-Brook has spent 20 years working on this diaphragm at PATH, a global health nonprofit based here in Seattle. Patricia Coffey leads the Health Technologies for Women and Children group at PATH. Coffey says work on this new contraceptive device started in 1994 at an international population conference. Women from around the world said they needed birth control that they could control.
And PATH heard that, and we knew that diaphragms had been around for forever. And we wondered, what could we do with that device? Is there some way that we could make it a more interesting, more acceptable, easier to use, and more comfortable device?
Now, Maggie Kilbourne-Brook, you started on this project 2 decades ago. So,
but no one's counting.
Nobody's. I just asked you, so everybody's counting now. What got you involved in it?
Well, it was really the International Conference on Population and Development, because the World Health Organization had done a terrific job going around the world, holding focus groups, asking women what it was that they wanted in a contraceptive method. And women spoke very clearly. They wanted more methods that were under their control. They wanted methods that had few side effects. And we said, that sounds a lot like a diaphragm, so why isn't anyone using them anymore? Why aren't healthcare providers providing them anymore? And that was really the focus of how we got started.
Before we look at the new diaphragm, I'm curious what answers you got when you asked, why aren't women using diaphragms? Why aren't health providers making them available?
Well, just to start with, you know, PATH is an international organization. And so our focus has specifically been on why is it that diaphragms weren't available in low resource settings in developing countries. As we worked through the process, we found that the same issues that we were finding in developing countries are similar to the issues that women in the United States and Canada and Europe are facing as well. And what we found is that because diaphragms came in multiple sizes, from a healthcare perspective, a healthcare provider's perspective, it was difficult to supply them. You had to figure out how many kinds of how many different sizes you needed in your fittings, in your inventory. From the provider's perspective, they needed to give the woman a pelvic exam to determine which size a woman needed. Each of those things took time. And as hormonal contraception became more available and more widely accepted, it was easier for them to write a prescription for an oral contraceptive pill than it was to do a pelvic exam and a fitting exam and counsel women how to use the diaphragm. From the woman's perspective, once healthcare providers were not talking about diaphragms, counseling about diaphragms, or providing them, then all of a sudden it really didn't even become an option for them. Many women that we encounter now have never seen one, never touched one, and don't know anyone who's ever used one.
But I also think for the women way back when who did have the opportunity to use diaphragms, you hear a similar anecdote come up. And that's the story of women in bed or getting ready to have sex with their partner, getting their diaphragm ready to use, putting on some kind of spermicidal jelly, and then having it slip out of their hand and fly across the room where they have to go run over and retrieve it before they can continue. So one of the things that we really wanted to work on was making a device that was user-friendly, was very acceptable to insert, easy to remove, but also we wanted it to be really comfortable for both partners.
Okay, so I've got in my hand a kind of ovoid, I guess, case, and I'm opening it up.
Da-da-da-da.
I'm trying to open it up. Here it is, and inside is a purple, not latex, right?
Not latex,
what
silicone.
So what am I looking at, Maggie, and how is it? Well, definitely looks different from the diaphragms that I used to know.
Well, that's a good starting place because you actually have a basis of comparison from
what I do.
Other traditional diaphragms would look like. Each of the design innovations that have been built into this new diaphragm came specifically from the feedback that women and healthcare providers gave us. So as you're squeezing it right now, maybe you might remember that this is actually softer. This is a more gentle compression, so it's not going to go flying across the room. There are also small little grip nipples on the side.
They are.
Those provide a little tactile cue about where to squeeze the device, and it also helps you hold on to the device when you're inserting it. Now you're sticking your finger inside this nifty little removal dome. That's also something that women told us that they wanted, that they wanted something that would help them get a good purchase on the diaphragm when they're trying to remove the device.
I know that you tested this out in the field with women in South Africa, Thailand, and the Dominican Republic. And am I looking at the product of feedback from them, or is this actually how the prototype pretty much as it was?
In our development process, the user-centered development process, we started with women here in Seattle. And they, so there were actually user groups here in Seattle and in Norfolk, Virginia, and Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia, and in California, all who participated and provided input into prototypes that worked on each one of these features. So what would make a device easy to insert? What would make a device comfortable to wear? What would make a device so that one device could fit a broad range of women rather than having to have up to 9 devices to fit those women?
Maggie, are you saying this is one size fits all?
It's one size fits most. So 85 in clinical studies, 85% of women who could wear a traditional diaphragm will be able to wear this device successfully.
I know that you got approval from the U.S. FDA to market. This is called the Silks diaphragm. Why is that important?
It's important because the FDA is considered a gold standard of regulatory authorities globally. This product actually, PATH developed the product, then we licensed it to a commercialization partner who happens to be located in Europe. They received regulatory approval in Europe last year, and the product is launched in 6 countries in Europe. And then by the end of the year, it had been registered and was being marketed in 14 countries. In May of this year, it was also approved in Canada, and now it's been cleared for marketing in the United States. So all of this builds confidence that this is a product that is well studied, well accepted, and that a broad range of women, both in developed and developing countries, may be interested in using this.
Do you need to use it with a spermicidal cream or jelly?
It's recommended for use with we call it a contraceptive gel. That's a new term.
Is that the new term?
It's a new term that's being used because it's a broader category of description, and the recommendation is to use it with that.
One thing I'm hearing from each of you, in addition to preventing pregnancy, is who controls the means of contraception? And it sounds like that's of equal importance to you in developing this method, this new diaphragm, as it is to preventing unwanted pregnancies. Am I right about that?
I think you've really zeroed in on something that's very important, because people know that in intimate relationships, you know, there's communication around sexuality, there's communication around childbearing, and ideally, you hope that men and women are coming together and that they're sharing those conversations and those decisions. That doesn't always happen. We think sometimes specifically in low-resource settings, women have less power to engage in those conversations. But we certainly found when we were working on female condoms that even here in the United States, women who consider themselves to be liberated and emancipated maybe are not that much different than women in low-resource settings at engaging in trying to negotiate condom use. So I think having a product that is very simple, that women can learn to use, where they don't have to keep going back to a healthcare provider for resupply, just changes the balance.
Maggie, you have been involved with this work for a long time now, and so you're used to talking about diaphragms and condoms and contraceptive gels and all those sorts of things. But isn't there kind of a slight social disconnect when you go out in public crusading for birth control and contraceptive methods?
Actually, I think people are incredibly inquisitive and interested. I think it's our culture that has a diverse, strange view about it. But when you talk to people, they have questions and they just want to know information so they know how to make good decisions, healthy decisions for their relationships.
I would say that I have been in many, many countries all around the world, and I always get to talk about sex when I'm there, and people always love to talk about sex with me, and it's one of the best topics of conversation I've ever had. So,
thank you, Patricia and Maggie, for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Patricia Coffey and Maggie Kilborn-Brook of PATH, the new Silks diaphragm has just won FDA approval.